And now, without further ado, let's begin.
Around the time that I was about 22 or 23, I was a paid professional stage actor. It was one of the most wonderful gigs I have ever had in my life, with the exception of one experience. The theater building itself was supposedly haunted. I myself, by now, can sort of confirm that it is. Unless what happened to me was something else that I just straight up cannot ever explain for the rest of my days. To give the backstory, the theater building I worked at was a library prior, around the 1920s through the 30s. However, when a young girl was assaulted and murdered and left in the middle of an aisle upstairs without anybody noticing or hearing, the library was immediately shut down. It was a thing. A few decades went on, and then, around the 1960s, they turned the old library into a round stage theater with a catwalk up by the ceiling. Even before I was cast in the production, I had already been aware that the theater was supposedly haunted. Of course, I was intrigued, but I knew better than to tempt spirits by taunting them or making fun of them. That's just bad juju. So I just sort of ignored the stories and the tall tales of the ghost. The stories were all the same from the other actors who had worked in the theater building. "It's a little girl," they'd all say. "She doesn't like women," they'd all say. "She has crushes on certain boys," they'd all say. That was the word on the street and in the building. Okay. Now, while being in this production, I had a fellow cast member who was just a bombshell of a woman. Gorgeous, intelligent, a dancer, everything that makes a woman wonderful. A Wonder Woman, if you will. She was almost technically a dwarf. She stood at a whopping 4'9". I don't like using words like tiny or small, but, I mean, Jules stands at a whopping 4'9". She's short, you know? Never underestimate that, though. That girl can still kick your butt. Always be weary of tiny dancers because they have the strength and discipline. Jules and I still talk to this day, as friends. She told me once that she was in the woman's dressing room about 20 minutes before curtain. She was sitting down on a chair, combing her hair, looking at herself in the mirror after applying her makeup, and then there was a tug from her long hair that pulled her all the way down from out of her chair onto the floor. To this day, she swears she was the only person in the woman's changing room. There was just no explanation for it. No explanation she can come up with. And she's smart and doesn't lie. Jules is not a liar, and she does not tolerate fancy stories. So, of course, everybody, myself included, believed her. It was strange. Kodai was this really handsome man who was almost losing his mind because his props and costumes would just disappear out of thin air and were never anywhere to be found. He would scream and yell before curtain. "I had my bench right here. I had my shoes over there. Why are they gone? I promise you I did not move them." Yeah, he would say that every night before curtain. There was a kid. I forget his name, but he played the young boy in the show. And always, always he would say, "Every night during intermission, I am standing backstage waiting for my cue to walk on stage for the beginning of Act 2. There is a breathing thrust upon the back of my neck, and every single time I turn my head, there's nothing there. And I'm scared." This poor kid was probably about 12 or 13 at best, and to me, when I was about 23, well, to me, it sounded terrifying. Savannah was my scene partner, and she and I had gone to high school together, so the camaraderie was already there. So when she told me that she felt terrified to be alone in the theater, I believed her. She had a part of Act 2 where she was required to be on the catwalk to drop a long canvas that was a sort of the backdrop visually for a scene. Savannah would get tired, though, and while she would lay there on the catwalk hoping not to be seen, she would accidentally start to fall asleep. If she fell asleep, the production would have consequences if the scene change could not happen. "Every night," she said to me, "every night I fall asleep, and then moments before my cue, I hear a little girl's voice say, 'Coo, coo, coo, loo, loo, loo.' And then I wake up and drop the canvas sheet and get back downstairs to make sure I get on stage on time. Every single night this happens." So onward, onto my part of the story and or experience. There was this matinee on a Saturday. After the matinee, we got our dinner break, and the entire cast would go take dinner and converse and enjoy ourselves. We had our 8 o'clock show, and another at midnight. I decided to head back to the theater building early, so I might pass out on the couch and sleep for a few hours before I had to get back into costume. Yada yada. Saying that, it must be made clear that I had had the keys to the building, and I could open up the theater doors once I approached the theater doors. I was actually trusted enough for that. Perhaps that was a curse within its very own self. Logically, the first task I always presented myself with was to turn on all the lights around the building, which I did this evening. There was a bathroom downstairs and there was a bathroom upstairs. For an inexplicable reason to me, some thought in my head that I had, that I still cannot explain even to this day, I decided to use the upstairs bathroom, which was located by the costume storage. I had never really used it before, and it does not seem sensical to me, but that was the choice that I had made. I marched up the curling, winding, spiraling stairs built way back in the day. I turned on the lights upstairs and proceeded down the hallway and into the bathroom and turned on the bathroom lights. It felt off to me. The air. The energy. The spirit of it all. It was very strange to me. It was very unsettling, unnerving, and awkward. I figured it was due to me being completely alone in the theater building, especially at nighttime. Only then did thoughts enter my mind. "It's a little girl," they'd all say. "She doesn't like women," they'd all say. "She has crushes on certain boys," they'd all say. Reasonably, the thoughts put me on edge, and I got super nervous-like, shivering at a cold chill that was absent from the room. When I had finished with my business, consistently looking back behind me, I opened the bathroom door to find that all of the lights had been shut off. The entirety of the theater was pitch black, with the exception of the bathroom whereupon I had just turned on the lights. Through that little light protruding from the bathroom, it traced along the hallway, and looking down it, I saw the silhouette of Jules. "Ah," I said to myself playfully. "She turned off the lights and wants to fool around." I had been feeling tired and sort of wanted to nap, but no young man in his right mind turns down the opportunity to get in on some frisky action, especially when such an attractive lady is insisting. I marked where she was standing in the hallway, and as the door closed behind me and the hallway became breached with complete darkness, I had already calculated where she was standing. Saying, "Hey, you," as I approached where she stood, I put my arms out for an embrace. There was no response, though. There was nothing there. "Oh, I see," I said excitedly. "You want to play games with me." So I walked further and further down the hallway, putting my hands out in front of me. I realized I had made it to the costume storage. Racks and racks of old clothes and wardrobe and costumes. Aisles and aisles of them. In the complete darkness, I put my hands here and there, feeling my way around, touching the fabrics that hung on their hangers on the racks. Expecting to find jewels, it ended up just resulting in more searching. "Where are you?" I asked. "Come on, where are you?" That was when it started to sink in. That's when it hit me. This feeling of being watched, being witnessed, being warned. There was this insatiable amount of dread percolating through my blood vessels. Immediately, I was very, very uncomfortable and scared. That's when the giggle came. Not a laugh, a soft, silly, child-sounding giggle. "Who's there? Who is that?" I asked. A jacket of some sort, or something, fell off of its hanger and landed on my shoulders, draped around me. I cannot remember if I screamed. I just may have. But I knew I ran. In the dark, into 100 of other clothing racks that shook and fell. It took me some time to readjust where I was and to get my bearings and figure out what part of the room I was in. Finally finding the spiral stairway, I ended up completely bombing it, completely failing and just falling down the stairs like a rag doll. After a loud moan from feeling like I had just busted my ribs, I found my footing and ran into a few walls before I finally found the front doors. I burst them open so quickly, and I just ran. I didn't care if I left them unlocked. Running down into the parking lot, the whole cast and crew were approaching. There was Jules, along with all of them. There was just no way she was ever even in the theater. "Hey!" I shouted at her. "Did you just mess with me?" "What?" She looked at me inquisitively. "No. What are you talking about?" "I thought I saw you in there," I told her, panicking. "You turned off the lights." The stage manager for the show just looked at me calmly, plain as day. "Oh, that's just the ghost. If she turns off the lights, it just means she likes you." The entirety of the production prior had led me to no experiences with said ghost, and nothing ever happened after that either. So, I grow curious from time to time whenever I ponder upon it. What happened? Was it in my head? A trick of the light? And when I grow more curious, I wonder why then, when so many others were having these strange experiences and I wasn't, why did it happen then, when I was all alone? It's a little girl. She doesn't like women. She has crushes on certain boys. As flattered as I should have been, to this day, I still am terrified whenever I think about it. I haven't worked for that theater ever since.
Thank you for joining us on this captivating journey. If you found this exploration as enthralling as we did, please like, share, and subscribe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.